Kelly Chase here to tell you about my friends at GFI Digital. It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered with office equipment, managed print, network and advanced technology services. GFI also provides IT solutions ranging from your basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. Authorized RICO dealer, call 314-997-6300 or visit them online at GFIDigital.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
What can you do?
Wow.
She's powder blue.
Sweet Wednesday's sick.
Powder blue. Powder blue.
It's my own percussion. It's like the triangle.
She's point and break.
Yeah, play the bell nice. We had a lovely female listener bring us chicky chicky filet.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. It was a nice gesture.
Boy, the female listenership of this show keeps growing.
Well,
we're getting younger and we're getting more effeminate.
I didn't think that was possible, the latter.
I think we're getting older and more effeminate.
Right.
Just in studio.
And she wanted to get a shirt autographed by us. God, I mean, how many autographs do we sign? It gets
you cut it off at about 100,000.
Right,
you know,
my right hand is tired from signing and pleasuring myself. But unfortunately,
I don't sign on Wednesdays. Just so you know, that's the day I take for myself.
Ooh. That seems fair.
All of our shirts are in the storage room, and she got here before the staff has arrived. And so,
like, you actually have to lock up the shirts.
Yeah.
Someone would take a shirt.
Yeah. So now she has to come back. So I'm sorry, Jennifer, but thank you for the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that was
Doug and I were debating whether or not to have it. Usually, well, you actually dig into the food.
I usually have it, yeah.
Despite being live.
I'm
able to hold off. But this morning, all I had was one Metabolic Meals muffin. And
yeah,
I usually like to have some form of protein, but then I had wingy late last night.
Yeah. Well, you could have some chicken over there.
No, probably do some today's interval cardio training if you want to join me.
Well, I'll be busy.
Okay.
Sleeping.
It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We're broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you on the radio program. The focal point of today's show, the Blues. The 6-1 win last night, a dominating performance. So impressive what we saw last night across the board as the Blues take a 2-1 series lead in this Western Conference semifinal over the Dallas Stars. Game 4 tomorrow night at the Scott Trade Center, and we will be getting the perspective of Kelly Chase coming up at 9 o'clock. That's brought to you by GFI Digital, but right now brought to you by the National Blues Museum on Washington Avenue. Check it out. They have live music performances. It is on Washington Avenue, and it is the sponsor of our Stanley Cup playoff coverage and interviews here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 615 Washington Avenue. It is our pleasure to welcome to the Appliance Discounter phone lines Rich Sutter. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are very good, and many people in St. Louis wake up with a smile on their face after what was a clinic last night. And then the first game of the 10 games or 11 games now the Blues have played in the Stanley Cup playoffs that really didn't provide much of a sweat. That was a dominating performance, and the Blues fired on all cylinders. What was your takeaway from what we saw last night?
Well, I'm sure the Dallas Stars wouldn't have been very happy with their performance last night. Let's start that way. But anytime you can score 6 goals in a Stanley Cup playoff game, it's always going to give your team a lot of confidence. And I would think that there's a big hill to climb for Dallas tomorrow because that's going to be a huge confidence booster for the Blues.
What is Dallas going to do with their goalie situation? Because it seems a little bit in disarray right now.
Well, when you look at that group, you know, they score a lot of goals. And they must feel some nights that they're going to have to score more than one when they saw the kind of goaltending they had last night. And, you know, that type of goaltending is just not going to get it done. It might get you by at times during the regular season, but, I mean, that's just very shoddy goaltending last night on their end. And I'm sure it's got to be it's got to be in the back of a lot of players' minds about how we're going to get this corrected, and it's got to happen fast. But, you know, obviously, if you talk to Lindy Ruff, he's not going to tell anybody anything about who's going to play tomorrow. And at least Lettman was pretty good in the third period. So if anything, if they get anything to draw out of that game last night, with any one good thing, is that the back part of the game, at least he was okay.
There, I mean, there were some softies in there. They pulled Letton in early, then they pulled Niemi early last night after giving him the start. Who would you go with? Who do you think is a move right now for them?
I think you go back to Lettman. I think he showed in the last part of the game, he made some real big saves, and I think you got to go with, you kind of got to roll the dice a little bit here, but you kind of got to go with kind of what you saw, because you haven't seen enough of Niemi in terms of leaving him in there for a period of time. But, you know, either way, I think it's going to be difficult for Dallas. I mean, the Blues are just rolling right now, and their depth in defense and Hitch is rolling four lines. It's they're playing a heavy game, and they're playing a game really like, you know, like LA played when they were winning. And they seem to have taken a little bit of a page out of that book, and if they continue to do that, they're going to be awfully hard to beat.
Yeah, and Brian Elliott just couldn't be playing any better. I'm sure that gives the whole team a lot of confidence when they know that they can make a mistake somewhere along the way, and they've got a goaltender like that.
Well, that's what wins you cups, and that's what carries you deep into the spring. And with Brian Elliott, he gives them, you know, the veteran presence. You know, he's got a bit of a burden style. He's got some things to prove where this team has gone to other goalies in the years past to get them by. And what he's done this year has been simply remarkable. He is a calming influence in that net, and it kind of seems to resonate through the rest of the group. And they play with it. You know, if they get down, they know that they've got him back there, and it allows them to stay in their structure and their systems, and with their depth and the kind of guys they got up front and on the back, and it allows them to just stay with that and say, let's just stay with it, and we'll get what we want.
Sometimes what David Backes does is underappreciated, I think, in St. Louis. He's very good defensively, and he, as they say, goes to the hard areas, camps in front, and we're seeing it pay off, at least in the playoffs so far. He's been outstanding. What's the value of a guy like Backes, who's a big guy, who stands in front, has that hand-eye coordination to redirect pucks as he does?
Well, you know, he's a big man, and if you can be brave enough to go to certain areas, then you should have some success. And let's be honest here, David Backes hasn't done that in the past. He's doing it this year. And, you know, the last few seasons, a guy much smaller than him in Chicago, their captain, simply outplayed him at playoff time, and that was the difference in the Blues. One of the main reasons why the Blues didn't advance. He's doing that this year, and great for him. But he's also surrounded by a lot of real good players. You look at bringing in Troy Brouwer, what has that meant to this hockey club? Stanley Cup winning, playoff experience. He scores big goals. He plays the power play. He kills penalties. You know, there's a lot of guys that kind of complement David Backes right now, and that's what's huge. And then I think you got a healthy Alexander Steen, who is the team's best all-around forward right now. And you throw, you know, the Tarasenko's into the mix and the Fabries. I mean, this team is deep, and this team is strong, and this team is heavy. And, boy, they're rolling right now. And I don't know how Dallas can be able to figure that out.
For just looking ahead, I mean, if they do get by the Stars, still a lot of hockey to play. You think the Blues have enough talent to go all the way to win a cup?
Oh, for sure they do. This time of the year, you need to play four lines, and who's ever not in the lineup can jump in and play in the bottom six role, and the Blues have that. You look at their depth and defense, and the minutes that Peter Angelo is logging right now, and it doesn't seem to bother him. Colton Parayko, who's been unbelievable. And those are just some names that you're naming. You're looking at you just don't look at the 20-man roster. You need 22, 23 guys to get through this marathon, and the Blues have that. They didn't have that in the past. They certainly got it this year.
Ryan Reeves made his presence felt last night. Didn't play all that much, but when he was out there, he was knocking heads around. I know the crowd loves that, but does that have much of an effect on a team when Reeves can go there and do the things that he did last night?
Well, it's a positive effect in terms of, you know you got your big guy there being able to do that. I wasn't quite sure why McKenzie didn't drop both gloves last night. Maybe he's got a left-hand injury, but I didn't really like what Reeves done leaving the ice. I think you got to focus on sticking to showing the other team you can win without doing the extracurricular things after. But, he is a presence. There's no doubt. He's a big physical presence. And the game is played in a funny way nowadays. And Kelly Chase was the first to tell you, too, you guys, that when you can have that big guy that can go out and be a real physical presence and can go out and basically tell some people certain spots in the game that this is not how you're going to want to play tonight, because you're going to have to answer to me or you're going to have to do this. It gets some people, there's always one or two guys on the other squad that's going to think twice about how they want to go out and play their game. So there is a presence in him having him on the bench and in the lineup. And he can also play some fourth-line minutes. And today's game, if those guys aren't able to do that, then they're not going to help your club win.
Rich Sutter with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, brought to you by the National Blues Museum, 615 Washington Avenue in downtown St. Louis. Open 7 days a week, online at nationalbluesmuseum.org. Blues 6-1 victory last night. In action tomorrow, Game 4 at the Scott Trade Center, an earlier start time of 7 o'clock. Rich, great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for the time this morning. We really appreciate it.
For sure, you guys. Let's do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
With us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, giving us his perspective on the Blues victory, and says this is a team that most definitely can win the Stanley Cup. That was the opinion of many people going into the playoffs. The issue, of course, was can they get past the first round, and specifically not just the first round, which has been such an issue, but the team they were facing. And once they did that, a lot of people were picking the Blues to, at the very least, get to the Stanley Cup Finals, many keeping their eye on whoever wins that series that we'll see Game 4 tonight in Pittsburgh between the Penguins and Capitals as being the favorite. And in Las Vegas, whoever wins that series is the favorite at this moment to win the Cup, even though the Plow Penguin will be the first one to tell you there might be a net-minding situation in Pittsburgh.
And Rich did also leave open the idea that we have him on again. He said, let's do it again.
So, He didn't like the Ryan Reeves blowing the kiss gesture at the Stars. I'm sure they didn't like it either. And it's got to be frustrating for a team to not be able to do much about that. I mean, who's going to climb over the board and say, I'll put an end to that? I don't know if they have anybody.
So McKenzie attempts to start crap with Reeves. Reeves finishes it very quickly, really. And it appeared that there might be a turtle situation. So Tyson Nash used to be accused of doing. Yeah. He would be a pest to the point that he would get in a fight, and then he would turtle.
Yeah.
And then so it looked like Reeves was lifting him back up the ice so he couldn't do it. Maybe I read too much into it, but that's what it looked like. And, I guess, at that point, that's usually what happens in a blowout Stanley Cup playoff game, is the team that's on the short end of the stick will try to send a message and, quote, win the third period, and not only do so with their play, but also by starting some crap. And that's just not the guy you want to do. That was a crap hit on Pietrangelo.
Yeah, somebody was going to pay the price.
Right, and Reeves was right there on that. Jay Bomeister just kind of skated away, and then Reeves kind of shoots on in, and away we go. And for whatever reason, McKenzie goes, okay, I'm going to do this. And then he realized that was a bad idea.
With
and
Reeves on the ice.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't do it with him on the ice.
And then,
sure.
then he begins the turtling process, and it looked like with one hand, Reeves was picking him up to give him a little more.
I mean, Reeves is a big guy, athletic, but he can also punch. He punches straight. He has good balance. I just don't recall many times where someone got the best of Reeves. So if you do have to send a message, you don't want to do it with that guy.
No, and if you're going to, I suppose if anybody takes a shot at Pietrangelo with his head down along the boards, somebody else would have jumped
in. Game
yeah, if it hadn't been Reeves, it would have been somebody else at that point.
That was crap, but it's not like the Blues haven't done that stuff themselves. It's kind of par for the course in a blowout game in the third period of a Stanley Cup playoff game. Kelly Chase coming up at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to hearing from Chaser. He's brought to you by GFI Digital. Michael's Flooring Outlet has four great locations to visit, and they have a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. I have been out there. I can attest to it. What sets them apart, their employees, when you come in, they will ask questions that others may not, and they will try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstocked. Michael's is great for everyone. They're perfect for the do-it-yourselfers or the contractors. There's so many things that go into a purchase, but go to the others first and then come to Michael's, and I know you'll see the difference. When you think of Michael's, you should think local. Michael's has been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. They're in St. Charles County. They're in West County. They're in North County. They're in Darden Prairie. It's Michael's at michaelsflooringoutlet.com, another great sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, support the sponsors or die, actually, I guess.
That's what you're telling our listeners.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like I wanted to be really aggressive with it. No, I didn't say they should, but if you don't,
you will die.
You supported the sponsors. You went to the game with the title sponsor last night. You did the power play dance with them, and there's video of it on the fan page.
Yes, I'm happy to do the power play dance.
You love the power play
dance. As a fan, I can't do that kind of thing if I'm in the press box.
You don't do that in the press box.
I don't. No, I can't even cheer in the press box. You know, I've spent years sitting there watching big goals and home runs hit and just have to sit there stone-faced.
Have you been in press boxes? I'm curious about this because I experienced this. This was right when I started. This was back in 2000, where there is cheering from the local media.
Yeah.
You have, okay.
Yeah, I don't recall what city, but there are certain cities where there's a more casual approach to reining in.
Well, I had always heard that New York and Philadelphia were the toughest as far as media goes. And so it's my first year at KMOV. The Rams were playing in the Meadowlands at the time, Giant Stadium. And it was a game where Warner and Falk were both hurt, and it was Trent Green and Justin Watson, as I recall. And they went up there and beat the Giants, who just a couple months later would wind up representing the NFC and the Super Bowl and losing to the Ravens. And the New York media was cheering like they were in the stands.
Really?
And I was going, what in the hell? This is supposed to be like the hardcore thing, and these guys are cheering. It was a really weird deal. Like you would kind of think it maybe if it were like a college football game and you were in pick your SEC city or whatever, but yeah. It was New York City at Giant Stadium. So I don't know if that's – I'm not in press boxes anymore, so I have no idea if it's going on. But you say you do the power play dance and you lead all the other reporters.
I don't do the power play dance in the press box. No, I have to sit there, you know, stone-faced. Wow, there's a nice moment.
That is such – wait a minute, because I saw a video of you, and it was you leading the other media up in the press box in a little conga line.
Dun-dun-dun. I would like to see a video.
Well, that's when they brought out the free food. If there's you know, snacks or something, we might do that.
What did Fox serve up for you guys last night in the box?
Oh, I wasn't in the box. I wasn't in the box.
Oh, you had the third row seat.
Yes.
Oh, now you're complaining about the quality of your seats.
I'm not complaining about anything. He asked me where I sat.
You always complain about getting out of the business. Being in the business puts you in the third row, Jack.
Seems like
well,
it.
Well, it wasn't being in like that's just being a friend with Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert.
Well, but he's friends with you because you're associated with the show because you're in the business.
Oh, not necessarily. He's friends because I refinanced my mortgage with him. Who else would I go to when I refinance my mortgage? And
the title sponsor, thehomeloanexpert.com.
And the truth is, Tim wasn't available, I wasn't available, Seymour wasn't available, and Dino.
Mm-hmm. But he did get a jersey from the Blues. Doug, Ryan Kelly's title.
Yeah, title sponsor. And that's who I was with last night. And I'm happy
you're
to
welcome.
Call him a friend.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was you too.
Fox Sports Midwest seats. You're welcome.
So you ever watched 60 Minutes? You're welcome.
Lord. So you're, hold on a second, you're taking credit for 60 Minutes.
Yes.
And the cat's taking credit for your
seats.
Great
ratings, everything. Seats, yeah. And also the Fox Go app, which Doug watched the Cardinals.
You do all that, do you?
Let's take credit for letting the listeners know about Lana Rhodes, who I believe will be the next Jenna Jameson. And I showed Doug her picture, pornographic.
Isn't that impressive?
And the commercial break. You might be for them.
No, I just a little higher standards, I guess.
Oh, my word.
He said he likes a woman with more of an Adam's apple and maybe a beard.
No, I didn't say that at all.
I heard you mumble it.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Can you tell the listeners about Ryan Kelly and stop blabbering on about this porn star?
I'll tell you what, this housing market, I tell you, is red hot right now.
Ryan said something about rates in the twos?
Some 15-year mortgage rates are in the twos, upper twos now. Yeah, and 30-year rates.
I might have to go to them. I might have to go to them now, a little bit. I'm going to send out a tweet with a picture of Lana Rhodes, not a porn picture for the record, because I know that would violate... Whatever it
what does
violate.
That have to do with mortgages in the twos?
But Doug, we're going to decide whether or not Doug's for them by seeing if people.
Is she attractive?
I'm sure that'll be a fair vote.
Is she the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in the entertainment industry? No, not by a long
shot. But what did you say?
Charo?
Let's be honest. You said, I would like her better if she looked more like Robert Conrad.
Yeah.
Those were your exact words.
That's what I heard.
Are you finished, or can I talk about the mortgage industry? There are some 15-year loans right now in the twos.
your 30-year loans in the low three. So if you have a mortgage rate in the fours, in the fives, Ryan Kelly can save you money, and I'm talking about lots of it. So this is the guy you need to call, and I wouldn't call him tomorrow. I wouldn't call him a week or so from now, a month from now. I call him today. And here's his number, 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. If you'd like more information, he's got a fabulous website, thehomeloanexpert.com. He's closing loans every single day. Sometimes you don't even need an appraisal. Ryan Kelly is the guy that gets it done. It's easy. It's fast. It's all professional. This is why he's the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest, and that's rated, of course, by the Scotsman's Guide. Nice. He was number three in the nation for FHA volume, number nine in the nation for most loans closed last year. I don't know. Maybe it's because you get great rates. Maybe it's because the customer service is fabulous. That'd be my guess. That's what it is. Here's his number again, 314-781-9700, or the website, thehomeloanexpert.com, Home Loan Expert LLC.
And you know what else?
I'm still sending out this tweet.
You support
this. Is Lana Rhodes, the woman who just started in Stag Films. Doug says he did not think she was that attractive. Is that accurate?
Let me see this picture. Now, that's a different picture than the one I saw.
That's the same picture I showed you, baby. No, it's her avatar.
It's a different one.
Hold on. We're going to take a look at porn stars in the middle of this.
That's a face shot. She looks much better in that picture.
What
than
did I show you before?
You showed
a shrub shot?
A full body shot where she had some weird expression on her face. I didn't think
Can
she was that
Can I make a suggestion, Tim? Also tweet out a picture of Robert Conrad and said, do you find this guy more attractive than her, like Doug does. By the way,
you're hung up on this gay thing, aren't you?
You support the sponsor.
You're really
okay?
Hung up on this gay thing.
Doug, can I finish here?
No, you probably shouldn't.
You get great stuff. You get
Robert
great...
Conrad's 81.
You get.
Is he still alive?
All right, I'm not going to even try to do the read while you're tweeting here for the Post.
Oh, ahead, no, yeah, please do because the Post really does. And the
but Doug won't let me. Because right, Doug is all about him.
Your gay maybe, nonsense.
Maybe it's not good enough for Doug.
Mm-mm.
You get great rates from Ryan Kelly, right? You go there, you get something in return by supporting the sponsors. You go to the Post Sports Bar and Grill, maybe before the game, maybe after the game on Thursday if you're going to go to the Blues hockey game. Mm-hmm. If you can't get there, you go to the Post Sports Bar and Grill. You know what they can do? They can help you further your drinking habit. Like last night, if you were there, you would have gotten not one but two free Blue Note shots. They give you free Blue Note shots when Alexander Steen scores a goal. They have great specials on the 22-ounce domestic drafts. How about Cardinals baseball?
Wow.
Great ticket giveaways for Tuesday and Friday games, plus free Redbird shots when Randall Grichuk goes deep the way he did the night before last. Still, they did get a spirit win last night. You can't get to the game, or if you're looking for a place to go before or after the game, you get yourself to the Post Sports Bar and Grill, and you stay posted, my friends.
Nice.
All right. I just tweeted out a picture of Robert Conrad as well, so the listeners can decide.
Yeah.
I put a poll on Facebin last night, the fan page, Doug.
Okay.
I know the cat hasn't seen this since he doesn't have a Facebook account. And I know that Doug, while a proud member of the fan page, not an active member of the fan page, kind of like a Vanderbilt football program in the SEC. So, Doug, let me ask you this.
Okay.
The question was, now that we have our presumptive nominees for the 2016 presidential election, some great choices, what do you think the breakdown? We had more than, I think, 500 votes so far from fan page members. What do you think the percentage was of Trump voters and the percentage was of Hillary Clinton voters on May 3rd, 2016, when this poll was posted last evening?
I would say maybe 60% Trump, 40% Hillary.
The cat.
I'm going to go 55-45 Trump.
Doug, you said 60-40 Trump?
Yeah.
At this moment... 366 of the 569 votes cast were for Donald T.
I believe it's B.
Trump.
I don't know if that's true.
So what percentage is that?
Hold on a second.
We're not good at math.
No.
64%.
Is it even more than that?
I love the poorly educated.
Good for you, Donald.
Yeah.
You know... We've had a lot of fun with Donald on this show, deservedly so, because he says some things that are ridiculous, right? But through all the things he said, right, and even if, you know, some of the stuff is taken out of context, a lot of it fair game because they're just awful things or ridiculous things. And the way so many different groups have come after him, not only from the Republicans but from the left, everyone has tried to knock this guy off the pedestal, and he keeps getting stronger and stronger. Right. You know, if you would have asked me, does Donald Trump have a chance to win in a general election, if it was 3 weeks ago, I probably would have said no. But now I'm just not so sure because he seems to be getting stronger again.
Yeah, the polls are tightening up. She still beats him in most of the polls that I see, but it's getting narrower and narrower all the time. I think one of the best TV shows in the world might be when those two get on the stage and start debating each other. What the things that he will say to Hillary Clinton, I think she might run across the stage and grab him by the neck and try to choke him. I think we might be in for that.
I think that she is furious. While everyone says she can beat Donald Trump, she's got to be very happy about it. I think that she knows she's going to be taken to task. And probably on a very personal level, she doesn't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just showing video of on the fan page, or to show Doug video of Ted Cruz's wife apparently getting elbowed a couple of times while he embraced his father.
Right in the yeah.
Did you see the when he went to raise Carly Fiorina's hand, the awkwardness of the hand clasp? That was tweeted out all over the
place. Well, that was a bond that was formed months and months ago and had nothing to do with a desperate attempt to save a dying campaign.
Well, well said.
Doug, last night Ted Cruz dropped out.
I was surprised by that.
Now, what is this? This is kind of like, I feel like there's a hot take in my list of audio here. It seems like somebody opined, and I believe it might be the Plow Shark, says Ted Cruz finally speaks the truth about Trump. Was that you, Plow Shark?
Yeah, he rips into him pretty heavy for about a minute there.
So you are a Ted Cruz guy?
No, he actually, that's what he
He's
said.
A Bernie guy.
He said, I'm finally going to speak the truth about Donald Trump.
Ah, so this wasn't you opining, this was what Ted Cruz said.
Correct.
All right, let's hear it.
Hit the lever.
I'm going to do something I haven't done for the entire campaign, for those of y'all who have traveled with me all across the country. I'm going to tell you what I really think of Donald Trump. This man is a pathological liar. He doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. He lies practically every word that comes out of his mouth. And he combines being a pathological liar. And I say pathological because I actually think Donald, if you hooked him up to a lie detector test, he could say one thing in the morning, one thing at noon, and one thing in the evening, all contradictory, and he'd pass the lie detector test each time. Whatever lie he's telling, at that minute, he believes it. The man is utterly amoral. Morality does not exist for him. He went after Heidi directly and smeared my wife, attacked her. Apparently, she's not pretty enough for Donald Trump. I may be biased, but I think if he's making that allegation, he's also legally blind. Donald is a bully. Bullies don't come from strength. Bullies come from weakness. Bullies come from a deep, yawning cavern of insecurity. There is a reason Donald builds giant buildings and puts his name on them everywhere he goes.
So he likes him, it sounds like.
Deep, yawning caverns.
He's endorsing him.
So I have some common ground with Ted Cruz.
It sounds like Trump would make the perfect politician, actually.
Donald Trump last night in his victory speech was very complimentary of Ted Cruz. He said he was a great competitor. And he also said he wants to bring back Christmas, if we could. Llewellyn's fun with audio.
Oh. Hit the lead.
Tonight I see that I won with the evangelicals. The evangelical vote was for Trump. And there's no greater honor, just no greater honor. And we're going to work together for many, many years. We're going to make it so good. We're going to be saying Merry Christmas again. We're going to be saying, now remember, we're going to be saying. And I won with women. I love winning with women.
That's pretty good.
Oh.
This is going to be good.
This is what it's coming to.
It's going to be, look, Hillary.
We have no choice.
Hillary and Trump, terrible for the country, in my opinion, but great for entertainment.
Yeah.
Part of me wanted to see this because it's going to be very entertaining. I think it's going to be very bad for the country. But look, when a politician can say something, because people say, well, it's all wide strokes, there's no detail. When he can say it's going to be so good, then you know he means it.
I wonder if it's not possible for a third-party candidate to emerge.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't say it's not possible.
Who? Where? Well, how?
I don't know. I don't have that answer of who, but we've had third-party candidates in the past, and if ever one might have a chance to get something done, this could be the election.
Too late,
because
baby.
Of two terrible candidates.
Too late. You got Hillary, who's well-funded, who's well-established with the Democratic Party, and you have Donald Trump, who has at least brought some of the Republican establishment on board by really as hostage-taking. They have no choice. They didn't want to be. I think they're too well-entrenched right now for any legitimate opposition in a third-party situation. My opinion.
Boy, I don't know. I don't know. This will be an election where people vote against the other candidate rather than voting for
that.
Someone that they like.
And I wonder what this is going to do for turnout. I think normally the Republican base would be energized because people don't like Hillary, especially on the Republican side. That would energize the base, except they don't really like Trump. On the left, they would hate Trump, so that would energize them, but they don't really love Hillary.
No.
One final sound bite from last evening. Donald Trump's victory speech after winning the Indiana primary. This is sound bite number 4, Plow Penguin.
We've been losing all the time. We lose with our military. We can't beat ISIS. We lose with trade. We lose with borders. We lose with everything. We're not going to lose. We're going to start winning again, and we're going to win bigly.
Did he say bigly?
I think so.
Is that Mr. Bigglesworth? Wasn't that Dr. Evil's cat?
Mm-hmm. Well, what he did to the other Republican candidates is just, he just absolutely crushed them. Poor Jeb Bush didn't know what hit him. He never got out of the starting blocks. Rubio trashed.
And they're right when they say Trump is a bully. They're right, but here's the thing. If you're running for president of the United States, it's incumbent upon you to stand up and put the bully in his place, and no one really did that. And when Rubio attempted to, it only hurt his campaign.
Yeah, I blame the process. I blame those debates. It's just not the situation where a president needs to make decisions. If you're a leader, you don't sit there and make decisions with five other people screaming at you, and you have to do it in a 30-second soundbite. It's an unnatural process, and it just led to somebody like Trump being allowed to trample on the other people who were too sophisticated to sit there and play his game with him.
Well, it's up to them to figure out a way. To me, the more you see the candidates, the better. It's up to the voter to sift through and say, obviously, that guy's a blowhard. I don't like him. But part of it's incumbent upon the other candidates to figure out a way to fight back without trashing themselves in the process. Yeah,
but if that's the system we're going to go with, it's just going to lead to whoever's the biggest loudmouth, whoever's the biggest bully is going to become the candidate. That's not what we ought to do.
I don't think it's necessarily that way. Sometimes that can backfire, but it's up to the other candidates to figure out a way to make it work for them, and none of them did.
I don't know.
And it's up to the viewer. It's up to the voter to look at it and say, that guy's got nothing, or that guy's weak, or that I don't like that guy.
But that's not what a president does.
The more information,
a president's not required to stand up and be the biggest smart aleck in the room. That's not what makes him the best leader.
Everyone's going to get a week in the Oval Office, and then we'll judge how they did.
No, you don't have to take it to a ridiculous extreme.
I'm saying, what's the answer then?
I'm saying
the more information, the better.
You got to change the way that debate process works. Whether you have two of them at a time, or whether you just do away with the debates, just let guys talk, have one-on-one interviews with selected journalists or broadcasters, whatever.
At least you
get a better feel for the person.
I disagree. I think you get a better feel when they're having an exchange. But I'll give you this. If you have 12 guys on a stage or 12 men and women on a stage, that's not the optimum situation. Smaller number, let them debate, let them have at it.
I don't know. I just think that the whole debate process destroyed a lot of pretty strong candidates just because of the name-calling that went on. And if you're going to select presidents by who gets off the best name-calling, I think that's ridiculous.
Let's take Jeb Bush, right? You know, a smart guy, probably smarter than he came. But if he's not able to withstand that, that's on him, in my opinion. I don't think who's going to want to run
if it's open game to just criticize anybody who's standing up there based on his hair or the way he looks or the way she looks. Who's going to want to run?
Well, I mean, we don't like the candidates. We didn't like the candidates, you know, this time around before this started happening, debates. I think it's a tough job to run for president anyway.
I think there were some people who liked the candidates until the debates rolled around. I think a lot of people liked Rubio and a lot of people liked Bush, but they had no choice. If you're just going to allow one guy to stand up there and ridicule who's ever there based on things other than what they're supposed to be talking about.
I think you have a point. There were too many. It was more of a clown show than it needed to be. However, if you're not able to fight off those attacks or parry it or spin it around to make it work for you while making, that's on you. And I think everyone had a chance to do that, and in the end, it worked for Trump the best. But that, you know, they had their chance.
Yeah. You can get involved by texting in 314-880-0808. You can call in the Appliance Discounter phone lines, 314-880-0808. Caller Ellen fires a shot at the cat. The cat is so off base, I thought he was smarter than that. Caller Ellen.
Mm-hmm. How so?
She's a wise woman.
She just texted it in. Maybe she just texted it in. Maybe Caller Ellen wants to call in.
I just don't think it should be a free-for-all on a stage. I mean, there's a lot of presidents that you wouldn't have had if it was all based on what kind of a zinger they can come back with on a stage.
We've had debates for years. That's part of the process.
But not this kind of debate. They've always been intelligent, issue-oriented debates. They haven't been the way the guy's hair looks or how ugly Carly Fiorina is. That never came up before that I know of.
I agree. But to say because Trump used it to his advantage by being a bully and no one made him pay the price, I think that was bad strategy. And not all debates are that way. So to say we're not having debates anymore based on this time around Trump went over the line and used it to his advantage, I think is wrong. Most debates you get a lot out of. To me, regardless if they're out of control, they're clown shows, which they were. And again, I'll give you too many people on the stage. To me, you get the best sense of what the people are like. Now, no, it's not the only gauge I use. You know, and if Trump won the debates, I'm not a Trump guy per se.
Here's one thing, and I observed this on the fan page, and I don't know if it's a unifying thought. It's not attempted to be, but I think it's something that many would agree with if you take a step back, because it's evaluating the process. It's not focused on the debates. I do feel like, and it's along the lines of something I think both of you were saying, but just from a different perspective, that because the microscope under which candidates in any office, but of course in particular for the presidency, go under, I think some very qualified men and women choose not to pursue public office because they don't want to expose themselves, but probably even more so their families to that crap. But secondarily, from a Republican standpoint, I feel like the Republican Party is doing themselves a disservice with the Iowa caucuses being the first voting platform of the presidential election process. If you go back through 1996, every Democratic nominee has also won the Iowa caucuses. If you go back to 2008, every Republican nominee has not won the Iowa caucuses. You've had in 2008 Mike Huckabee, in 2012 Rick Santorum, and now 2016 Ted Cruz. And so you have a number of candidates who I think would be really qualified to compete in the general election who have to play to a wing of the party that is not representative of the general electorate, and in doing so oftentimes alienate those in the general electorate. So if you don't do well in Iowa and you're not able to be the Bill Clinton comeback kid in New Hampshire, then you got to go down to South Carolina. And so two of the first three are appealing to a wing of the party that is not representative of the general electorate. And that's why you've seen Huckabee, Santorum, and Cruz, three guys who could never win the presidency in a general election, win that. And then you may have some general election qualified Republican candidates fall by the wayside. And that's because I believe one of the Republican Party's biggest issues is it sold its soul to the religious right. And it helped them get votes in the 80s and 90s and certainly in the 2000s. But as more and more people go, you know what, I'm just not really interested. When it gets down to it, yeah, I guess I would prefer that a transgendered person's not in the stall next to my daughter. But in the whole scheme of things, I really don't give a damn. And if that's what you're going to hitch your wagon on your campaign to, then I'm not sure I really want to hitch my vote to you. Those types of issues, wedge issues, which will get a lot of attention on cable news, I don't think really are what many Americans care about. And that's what they have to play to when they go up to Iowa. And I think it does the party a disservice because they have that wing of the party heavily represented there. I think there are a number of people, including myself, who have voted Republican and would vote Republican if I didn't feel like the candidates were simply saying crap that they may not believe, but they feel like they have to quote-unquote appeal to the base, and everybody knows what the base means.
I think if you question the primary process, I think that's a better thing to question, but it doesn't just work for the Republicans. Look, I mean, you had Mitt Romney pretending he was an arch conservative in the last election cycle. He wasn't, more of a moderate. Trump may be a Democrat, for all we know, pretending to be this arch conservative, because that's how you have to win a primary. But the same goes for the Democrats. I mean, Hillary, who I think is more moderate than Bernie Sanders, was trying early on in the primary to get to the left of Bernie Sanders, because that's a huge
right. They each have to run to their respective wings,
yeah.
But it hasn't cost the Democrats like I think it's cost the Republicans. I mean, in 88, Pat Robertson almost beat Bob Dole. Neither one were the nominees, but Pat Robertson of the 700 Club almost won the Iowa caucuses. I mean, are we really? And then in 1996, Pat Buchanan almost beat Bob Dole, who was eventually the nominee.
But those people were weeded out after that.
But what I'm telling you is, yeah, as people go, well, then Trump isn't really appealing to social conservatives. He's not, even though you heard him talk about being able to say Merry Christmas. I mean, you know, whatever at this point. Pennsylvania. But the point is there is a process that only certain people can survive. It's like a pyramid, and as primaries and caucuses go on, if you don't do well, you're weeded out. And some qualified candidates get weeded out. I know a lot of people who would consider themselves moderates loved Rudy Giuliani, in particular for what took place with his leadership during September 11th. And he just wrote off Iowa and was never able to pick himself off the mat. Didn't even try. Received 4% of the vote.
And people look at that and say
that was a mistake, because you've got to do that. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who go, God, I do believe in many of the fiscal policies of the Republican Party, smaller government. But if two gay men or gay women want to get married, great. I don't care. But you got to kind of play to that, because that's what helps get you votes, by appealing to it. It may be the same case for some Democratic candidates, whether it comes to unions or whether it comes to certain racial issues or, on the other side, left social issues. But that doesn't become the weeding out process to get the nomination. That's my premise. And the facts back it up by the fact that Democratic nominees who have won Iowa have gone on to win the nomination, whereas Republicans, it becomes whoever's going to be the most religious winds up winning the caucus, and that can weed out some people who would be described as more socially liberal, but also good fiscal conservatives for those who are interested in that. Yeah, caller Ellen.
Hello, Ellen.
Well, hi, guys. You sort of shifted gears, and Tim, I agree with everything you said. I was going to get back to the debate topic for a minute.
All right.
And Jim, you are such a smart guy, and part of it is you are so darn quick on your feet. I think that you appreciate the Donald Trumps of the world, and just sort of the ability for the zinger and the quick comeback. Because
I think he was abysmal in the debates. I didn't think he won the debates when some people gave him credit. I don't think he's particularly quick-witted. My point is, debates have been going on for a long time, and yes, they were a clown show more so for the Republicans, because there were so many people and because of Donald Trump. But my thing is, the more information you can glean, the better. And if people saw those debates and thought Donald Trump is the guy they want, which I don't necessarily understand, so be it. Because I do think the more you see people talk, the better. And
I mean, that's the point. The point is, it was such a sideshow, and so much about people's hair and face and anatomy and so on and so forth. They didn't glean information. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, I disagree with, because I'm not talking about necessarily policy, because Donald Trump hasn't you can look at someone and say, I think that guy lacks the knowledge by watching Donald Trump. He has no idea what he's talking about. Or look at someone like Marco
Rubio.
But look
what happened. He ran everybody else off.
Look at Marco Rubio, who has seemingly as much foreign policy experience as anyone on the stage. People didn't see it that way. Doesn't mean I want to scrap the whole debate process. And you know what? Because it was that way this year, there have been other years where I think the process is pretty intriguing, and you do learn things. So because Trump was the wild card in this, I'm not ready to say, well, we shouldn't have debates, because I don't necessarily think you're going
to
learn more by having some canned environment where someone rehearses their talking points and then spits them out. I like a little back and forth. Did it go overboard this year? Yes. Too many people on the stage. Yes, but I'm not going to throw out the whole process because of Trump, is what I'm saying.
Well, you're likely not going to enjoy then the, you know, sort of main presidential debates between Trump and Clinton, because the point of those debates and sort of the format that they're going toward is they do tell the candidates in advance, okay, we're going to spend 20 minutes on foreign policy. That's it. And we're going to talk about foreign policy. And the moderator basically is the timekeeper to make sure that one person doesn't get more airtime than the other. But it's going to stay on one topic. And so that, to me, is a good debate. I don't understand. We didn't learn anything in these debates other than the fact that Trump is good with a quip. He's really good at making fun of people. He can put people down in no time flat. And by the way, he contradicts himself constantly, and somehow we've got, my dog's backing me up, by the way, we've got this electorate that's just fine with that. And so I agree with a lot of your saying, but I'm not saying debate.
Like, because of what Donald Trump did this year, because people couldn't see through it, we shouldn't have debates? I'm not ready to say that.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't have debates, but I'm saying these sort of like at the end when they, what do they call it, like lightning round. It's like, those are so stupid. Like, what are we doing spending time on? What's your favorite color? You know, boxers or briefs? Pepsi or Coke? It's that kind of crap that is just, you know, the media has a role to play in this too. But all to say that I disagree with Doug. The notion that presidents make decisions with people screaming at them and telling them they're ugly and not well endowed is just not the way things are done. And so in this particular cycle, I just think it was a disaster.
That's actually how things are done for presidents of sports talk radio stations. Not necessarily presidents of the United States.
I think it's really dangerous.
I support it in that particular arena.
Thank you.
I think when you pick a candidate based on who's the biggest bully, I think that's a real problem, a real problem. And that's what this process did.
Well, he's just appealing to the worst angels of our nature. Appealing to the lowest common denominator. And anybody who attempts to stand up to him is just labeled an idiot, a moron, a liar, a little guy, a low energy. And the media just has totally played into this because they carry all of his news conferences live. He's gotten $2 billion worth of free advertising. And as you can tell, I'm a little worked up about this, but this whole thing is just jacked.
Well, you know what? It seems you have your biggest problem is with the voters, because
I have a huge problem with the voters. I'm not going to lie,
and I'm not going to argue with you on that. But I mean, that's where the problem is. I watched debates, and I saw a lot of things that would affect the way I would vote in a primary or the general election, and that goes for the Democratic side too. And it's not just based on, you know, because Donald got off a good one-liner, I think he'd be a better president. You got to look deeper than that. Some people just like
it. Yeah, and my way of looking deeper at it is that all the coverage on Twitter, all the coverage on all the cable channels, they all go to Donald Trump rallies live for hours on end because they know he's going to say something idiotic, moronic, incendiary, embarrassing, name the whatever, and everybody else is out there, you know, sort of trying to talk about how we're going to work things out with China and what to do about North Korea and how to handle Russia. And he's out there talking about, you know, tough guy, build a wall with Mexico's money. And so there is, yeah, it's the voters, but the voters also, their conduit is the media. And I just think the whole thing has been so, it's just a terrible confluence of events that has led to, I think, what's going to be a total and complete disaster.
And do you expect Hillary Clinton to win comfortably?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think I'm going to be voting for her, which I never thought I'd say in my life. But what scares me is that you have Donald Trump. What is everybody's just going to dump all over me on your
that's already happening.
Twitter or whatever. But
it's in the texting box.
What scares me is you have Donald Trump standing in Trump Tower in the middle of Manhattan, and he's fighting for the little guy. It's the weirdest thing. I don't get it.
Well, Hillary, Hillary has no money either, right?
He's never worn a plaid shirt in his life.
Hillary has no money.
Hillary's worth $45 million, and she's only worked in public service.
Let's be honest, okay? Who's for the little guy? I don't think we're going to find him in this presidential election, either side.
But the little guy believes that Trump is for him. That's my point. And he's standing there making his acceptance speech on Fifth Avenue in Trump Tower. He's not rolling up his sleeve and eating corn dogs like everybody else. He Purells after every handshake. And it's just so, we are in upside down world. I just don't get it. So in upside down world, I guess he could win.
There it is. Carl Ellen, I got to go. But thank you so much for the sentiments, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ellen.
Carl Ellen, she's upset about this whole thing now. I got to give equal time because Chris says Kelly Chase is going to be with us for those of you who only want Blues coverage. We did spend 90 minutes on them. We'll go into Kelly Chase here in about 6 minutes. This is Chris Stugg. He's on the Appliances Counter for Lines.
I've always loved the show.
Oh, thank
God bless
Chris.
You, gentlemen.
Boyer, I can barely hear you guys. Can you speak up a little?
Yeah, hello, Chris. Can you hear us now?
Guys.
All right.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, it's really amazing. You just spout out every cruise talking point, you know, the $2 billion in free media and that sort of thing. I think what Doug and everyone is missing is that, as a Trump supporter, I really only agree with about 10% of his policies. It has nothing to do with policy. It has everything to do with the betrayal of the ruling class. And that's just how a lot of us feel. And it's a non-bloody revolution. I hate to say it, but that's really what it is. And I love you, Doug.
A betrayal of the...
And hold on, let him finish. Doug, right, let him finish.
Well, okay, finish. Sorry. You were going to get in some sexual harassment.
Doug, that was Chris.
Yeah.
This is, I don't know what the name is. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, how are you doing? This is the impatient Hoosier.
Ah, all right.
Nick Gallo has some really nerve. Is Donald Trump responsible for killing 4 Americans in Benghazi?
No.
Hillary's got blood all over her hands. And that gal's going to lecture us about Hillary Clinton? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Well,
she didn't say that, and she then, was a huge Hillary Clinton
why,
fan.
I agree with the other guy. We're going to establish, you know, how many times are we going to be called a racist, bigot, homophobe, sexophobe, arachophobe, phobiphobe? We got murderers and killers and rapists coming across the southern border, which is all Democratic voters, as you well know. This is what this is all about. When he said get rid of illegal aliens and build a wall, that was it. It's over with. I mean, how many times come over here, collect welfare, and then MF us? We're all racist, bigots, homophobes. We're tired of the BS. I served my country. I was in the military. I was a United States paratrooper. So I don't want to hear this BS about how Hillary, she's so corrupt, it's not even funny. I mean, you know, she knew about she's in charge of the bimbo eruptions. And sit there and lecture us, and then they're going to destroy the coal company, and then she's got nerve enough to go to West Virginia and say, oh, I never said I'm going to destroy the coal company. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Well, and I wouldn't put it all on Ellen. Ellen wasn't actually here to talk about how great Hillary Clinton was. She was saying that she's probably going to get a vote because she didn't want to vote for Trump.
Oh, it's the voters' fault that we're stupid for going with Trump.
So you're undecided, right? At this point, you're undecided, Hillary or Trump?
Yeah, right, I'm undecided. I'll vote for Mickey Mouse before I'll vote for Hillary Clinton. How is this economy going for? Obama is the only president in American history that the GDP never went above 2% in his 8 years in office. And that's a fact. Well, you got the corrupt press. I mean, literally corrupt. Sit there and lie. So,
can I ask you a quick question before we let you go, Kelly Chase? Hold on. Impatient Hoosier. Don't be so impatient. Pot him down. Pot him down. Impatient Hoosier.
Refuge.
Still going.
Scoundrel. Is when you can't call.
All right, we got to let you go unless you listen to me. Impatient Hoosier.
Attack. We're all racist.
Impatient Hoosier.
I've been hearing it for 7 years. I'm getting sick and tired of it.
IH. Screw IH. Listen to me.
Yeah.
We got to let you go. You said your piece. I want to know.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Hold on. What do you think of this show?
Well, he's impatient even with your question.
I thought we could at least find common ground. That's what we need in this country, common ground. This show is where America comes to sift through the tough issues they face and have a reasonable, rational discussion about it. Right here. We're America's workshop.
A lot of food for thought. Mm-hmm. Doug, you're welcome to text in if you'd like, 314-880-0808. You can email in the morning after it inside.
Text in and say Doug's great.
$20 gift certificate to Burley Cutlery is the prize for our email today. Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, also presenting all of our Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A light-bodied lager with a fresh, clean, and subtle hop aroma, delicate malt sweetness, and crisp finish for ultimate refreshment. Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Kelly Chase, next, brought to you by GFI Digital, Blue Stars Discussion, Stanley Cup Playoff Talk with Chaser, next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After.